building out back for a garage for the school buses. And then we bought a house up the road here a little ways, and we lived up there. And we still ran the gas station, and I went back and forth with these meals and went down in the morning and cleaned the place in the morning. And then after that, he decided that he'd done that long enough, so we leased the station out, and he got a job at Glimmer Glass State Park when it first opened. We were the first people to go down there and take care of the property. Lived in the stone house, which the state fixed very nicely for us. And then we were the caretakers, and then I've forgotten just how this goes, but anyway, he was called the superintendent at the time, but the state came out with laws that you had to take tests to be these different positions, and he failed his test the first time he took it. So there was a new man that they got to come in as superintendent, but he took the job of over the maintenance division. Excuse me, I'm talking too much. And we were there for 10 years. And then he passed the tests, and we went all over to different parks and had interviews and so on. But we ended up going to Cuca Park, Cuca Lake, which is in the western part of the state. And that was a park just the same size as this one had been down here. And it was more of a camping, they had more camping than anything else. And we were out there 10 years until he had a heart attack and passed away. So that was the story of my life with him. We had a very wonderful marriage for the years that we were together.
It's exciting.
Oh, yes, it was. It was a lot of fun. I loved the parks, and I still do. So then I came back to Springfield, and I rented a trailer. No, let's see. I was in a trailer first. It was the next farm above the farm that we own down there on the hill. And then finally my son bought the house above where I am now, and I bought a piece of land off from him and put a double wide in, and I've been here for the rest of my life. And mostly the rest of my time I did work for the county for a while, 3 years, and I had worked in the as an attendant in the court when court was in session for 8 or 10 years before that. And then mostly I have done putting meals on for organizations and doing, never got paid for the things we did, but just did things. I drove for Meals on Wheels for a number of years, and belong to all organizations in town, historical organization, DAR. No, I never joined DAR. Grange, I was a great Grange member, and just did things for people that I enjoyed doing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any stories about working at the gas station? Any crazy things, fun things?
Oh, fun things. Well, yes, I should have written some of those down, thought about them. Oh, dear me. We lived upstairs in the station, and every time a car came in to get gas, they drove over a bell that rang so that we would know that somebody was out there. And of course, sometimes my husband would be working on a car in the garage part of it, and I would run down and pump the gas. So one day the bell rang and I looked out my kitchen window and Herb wasn't there, and he wasn't there, so I took off hella de lerup down the stairs. I got halfway down and I went right over the edge because there was no railing, and I went in a heap down on the floor behind the showcase. Well, I pulled myself up thinking, am I hurt, did I break anything? And I look out and my husband is out there pumping the gas. Then I was mad. I wasn't hurt. But I'll tell you, it was only about 4 days later there was a railing on the stairs. And then one night there was a commotion out on the four corners, and our bedroom was on that corner upstairs. And we look out, and here's a car, and here's some guy that's drunk in a loop, lying in the south road, and his wife is trying, well, I don't know if it was his wife or not, was trying to get him up and get him back in the car. We're up in the window laughing our heads off. And another time, my kids had a big wash tub, a big square went out back with water in it that they liked to play in. And we heard a commotion in the night. And we looked out the window, and here's two guys out there, and they, I don't know what they were doing, probably trying to pump gas out of the what was left in the thing, the rubber thing that the gas went through into your thing, tank. And they squeeze out as much as they could to get whatever gas they could out of there to get a little farther. Well, anyway, one of them ran around behind the barn, and behind the station, and he fell in that tub of water. We're upstairs laughing our head off.
Deserved that,
yeah. Yeah, we had some real experiences with the people that came along. I made a big mistake one day. I was real busy and I was alone there, and there were two cars and three cars and people waiting, and I put the wrong cap on the wrong car, and they took off, and I went to put the other one on, it didn't fit. That was one that was locked onto the key or something. Well, I felt terrible about that, but I finally got them all out of the driveway. I don't know if I can think of any other stories or not, but used to always, if I could be a millionaire if I had had just maybe 15 cents or a cup of coffee for all the coffee that I made over the years when everybody came to the station. Never thought of having a pot downstairs, no. Everybody came upstairs. All the salesmen would come up and have coffee. All the teachers would come up and have coffee. And something else if I had it made. And I often think, oh, I could have made so much money if I'd had my brains there.
Like gas stations today.
Yes, you don't get anything for nothing anymore. But those were the good old days. We had a lot of friends and made a lot of friends. And I had a lot of fun. Had spaghetti parties, and all the teachers would come, and we'd make hot spaghetti and mm-hmm. Have maybe 8 or 10 of them there. We'd have a party. Oh, wow.
So. Now, you said your husband worked on cars. Did he learn that from working at other gas stations?
Oh, yes, he had worked at the one over on the other corner when he was in high school. And he didn't do real big maintenance work, but it was mostly changing oil and checking cars over. And there was one lady in town that she was a little short, chubby thing, and she had this car, and to reach the gas and the clutch and the brake, she had extensions mm-hmm. on each one of them mm-hmm. so that she could drive. And every fall and every spring, it was Herb's job to bring that car down and to get it all ready to go or to put it away in the fall. And, of course, he'd have quite a time getting in there and driving. Oh, dear. And she was a real... Oh, she drove right along, I'm telling you. She was cute. She had a sister. They were both built the same way. They were great, wonderful women, D.A.R. people, and all into everything. Came from a well-class family. And but they were a pair. Yep. So anything...
Did you enjoy working outside of the home?
Oh, I enjoyed every. I've always enjoyed everything I ever did. Mm-hmm. I really can't think of anything that I ever did that I didn't really get some good out of it. I enjoyed most everything. I'd get tired sometimes, but everybody does. They put their heart into it, I guess. Mm-hmm. No, it was very interesting to work in the courthouse when the court was in session. You had to be sure that everybody was taken care of and in the right place. In those days, we had to carry the drinking water from over at the, I guess it was the prison next door, and... Somebody come over with a basket and glasses, and we had to put water up in front for the judge and the people that were up at the front working and so on. And then we had to close everything up at night when everything was over. Usually we would be done in the afternoon, but occasionally we'd have something going on that we'd have to take the people out to eat and be sure that they didn't talk to anybody or keep them all straight and whatnot. And one night the help all left. Two men were working that day and they just left, and I was left all alone. I had to close the window and that's a story in itself. Take the basket over in the dark. But I was always very, did everything the way it should be done. I didn't leave anything that shouldn't be done. Well, one day the window had been open. It was real hot. And if you know where the courthouse is, it has stained glass windows in it. And it had ropes that you'd pull to shut these big windows with. And I pulled the ropes, and one of the glass things fell out of it and went down on the sidewalk. And I'm thinking, oh, I hope nobody was down there. I saw it go. Luckily, but I never told anybody that. I was the one that... I didn't break the window. It just fell out when I pulled those bright ropes so tight. Yeah. Well, now the story's out. Maybe they'll come and put me in jail.
Probably not.
It's a little too late for that.
Their statute of limitations.
Yes, right.
Did other women work outside of the home in Springfield?
In Springfield? Mm-hmm. Well, there were some farm women that did go out and work. Of course, the thing that the farm women had to do in those days was to get food on the table, because they would have maybe six, eight men working, and they'd come in for dinner at noontime. Mm-hmm. And then when they used to put the hay in, they bring the horses with the wagon in and put them in the barn, the load of hay, and then they would set the hay with a big fork, one man on top, and then you'd have another horse and rope hooked on that would go from the barn out until it brought that hay up and over into the barn. Mm. And then it would release, and then you bring your horse back in. And my mother always had to do that. She would take a old fox, the white horse we had, out to the end and then bring it back. But then she'd have to have a meal on the table for four or five men that might be working. And in the meantime, sometimes she'd go out with a rake and rake hay while they were loading the load, and then she'd come back with her horse and hook that on the rope that put the hay up in the mow, dropped it down. That was hard work in those days. Things were done so differently than they are today.
Mm-hmm. Wow. The food that your mother or other women would cook, was it supplied by the farm?
Oh, yes. Everything mm-hmm. was, you had your own milk, you had your own cream, mm-hmm. and my mother always had to have cream in her coffee. And of course, the milk that you sent out, they liked to have the cream left on it because it was better milk with the cream mm-hmm. on it. So anyway, but she was going to have hers first. She came first before anybody else got it. And yes, you'd have your big garden, and you'd raise most of the food for yourself, and then you'd have chickens, and you'd take every Saturday night, or Saturdays, I don't know, it had to be Saturday, but my father would take a crate of eggs to Cherry Valley and swap those off for groceries that he wanted to buy. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of a routine of things that, if you had chickens, that you did. You sold your eggs that way. And, of course, the milk. I remember down in the village, on the end of the store, there was a big platform. And my father had a four-wheeled wagon and his old horse, white horse, Fox. And he'd hitch that up every morning and put milk cans of milk that had been cooled in a ice in a concrete vat mm-hmm. at night, and take the horse down and unload that onto that platform, and then someone would come along with a truck and pick it up and take it to Cherry Valley to the milk plant. Mm-hmm. And many times I rode down there with a load of milk. Mm-hmm. Yeah, food, most of the food came from, and most of the farms had an apple orchard, and they raised apples, most every one of them, and grapes, there were grapevines. And mm-hmm. Of course, there are a few grape wineries around here now, but when I was out in Cuca, that was all grape area mm-hmm. out there, and that was fun. I like grape pie. You ever had grape pie?
No.
What's good?
No, I've never.
Yeah.
I've had raisin pie.
Raisin pie, mm-hmm. you know. Concord grapes, what you do is you take and you take it in your finger and you squeeze it. Mm-hmm. And that squeezes the green pulp mm-hmm. out and leaves the skin. Okay. You put your skin in one place and you put the seeds and the other in another. Then if you have a Foley food mill, mm-hmm. you could put that and get nothing left but the seeds in there, so then you dump the pulp and the skins together, and then you have your butcher sugar, and I've got a recipe for what you put into it out there, and it's good.
Wow.
Yeah, in that area, they sell pies along the road and at everything. It's grape mm-hmm. area, and everything's grape in the fall, so which is becoming more popular in this mm-hmm. area. If I had a grape vineyard, I could make some pies and something.
Sounds good.
Yeah, yes.
Where did you get your meat from that your family ate?
You butchered. You'd always have a cow that you'd butcher in the late fall, pigs, mm-hmm. and you'd have a big house and raise pigs, and you had your chickens, you did your own chickens, and most of your meat just came right off from the mm-hmm. farms. So, eating was simple but hard work, mm-hmm. you know, and you'd have maybe rhubarb, everybody had rhubarb and their apples and pears. And then there'd be, there used to be a lot of butternut trees around, and they're kind of disappeared in late years. But you'd pick up nuts in the fall and dry those out and then crack them in the wintertime and have nut meats.
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple way of living.
Did your father butcher the animals, or did you send them?
I think sometimes they did. I remember being at my grandmother's, my other grandmother who lived on a farm, and I remember hearing them butcher pigs at the farm above there, and I could hear them squeal. They were killing them, and I could hear them squeal, and I could always remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes in later years, they would take them to a regular place, like over beyond Richfield. There was a place that you could take them, and they would butcher them and package them up for you and do them the way you told them to cut them and so on and so forth. But sometimes you did it right on your own farm.
How about game animals? Deer and other small game?
Ooh, I had six deer right out here eating my apples this morning. Speaking of animals. I did. I had one the other day, and today I had six out there.
Oh, my goodness.
They took off and ran away. wild animals, of course, the hunters, people that like to hunt, always went hunting, duck hunting, turkey hunting. Of course, there weren't turkeys here when I was young. There were some over to the east of us, over around Worcester, over in that area, but it wasn't until later years, I think they stocked them, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then they became quite popular. My boys used to raise pheasants, and I've forgotten how many they'd have, 50 maybe. And then when they got big enough, they would take them out and turn them loose, and they would get paid. That was through 4-H, and they would get paid so much for the ones they let go. So with their money, they had to put half of it into their school clothes or whatever school clothes they needed, and the other part they had to put in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good project, yeah, for 4-H project for kids to do. I can't think of anything else. About the food.
Did your husband hunt?
Yes, he liked to hunt. Yeah, he'd always been brought up to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He hunted all over the hills around here.
Mm-hmm.
And, I can tell you another story. This is on another subject, but... You got more things you want to ask?
This is about you. You tell me what you want to tell me.
Well, here back four or five years ago, I was up to church, and the ladies were going through the books up there looking for something. Mm-hmm. And finally, one of them came over, and I heard one of them say, "Well, go ask Barbara. Maybe she would know." So this gal came over, and she said, "You don't happen to know where Eliakim Sheldon was buried, do you?"
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Sure, I know where it is." She said, "You do?" I said, "Yes, he's buried up on Pine Cobble." Mm-hmm. Well, now, Pine Cobble is that mountain right up there that you're looking at.
Yes.
Okay. And so they said, "Well, we've been looking in the church books because we thought he was connected with the church." And I said, "How do you happen to know?" And I said, "Because when I was about 5 years old, I went with my grandmother, and I went up to Eliakim Sheldon's grave and put a flag onto it, because they put flags on the DAR for all the veterans and whatnot. why I remembered that all those years and that name, I don't know, but I did. Well, this man from up in Rome, New York, had been here, and he had left a note on the door. And that's why they were looking for it, and he'd been here before, and it was his relation. And so the secretary was going to call him and tell him or let him know. Well, when I went up a few days after that, the paper still laid there, so I thought, well, shucks, I'll take that home and I'll write to him. Well, then I said, no, I'll call him up. His telephone number was on it. So I called him and I told him, yeah, I knew right where it was. And he came down with his wife, and I got permission from the people that owned the land, two boys, to be able to go up and see this marker and so on. And so through that, the marker was very hard to read, but they contacted the government, whatever part they have to, and if you have proof that of the genealogy, that they will give you a new marker free of no cost to it. So he got the papers from somebody in Cooperstown and made the papers out, and then if it was passed, it had to be sent to the nearest funeral parlor. And so I put the funeral parlor down, and I got in touch with them, and they said it would be 6 to 8 weeks before they would know. But the government sent the new marker, and the man in Cherry Valley at the funeral parlor delivered it down to the house, and the boys down there said, don't worry about it, we'll put the marker up there for you, because their mother and father had buried up there. So I was so pleased to think that nobody could find that, but it was so easy for me to know right where it was. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that was something that was really accomplished for the town. And I don't know how many people you around here now, you say, do you know where Pine Cobble is? No, never heard of it. Mm-hmm. Of course, that was just always known to the local people that had lived here all their lives. But I was real happy that that worked out.
Well, that's good. Who was Lycombe?
Lycombe Sheldon. Well, he was one of the first people to settle in this area. And his daughter was the first school teacher to the little Continental schoolhouse that used to be down at the end of this road. And many of our people my age had been to that schoolhouse and so on. And but nobody in the town seemed to know, had ever heard of it, didn't know anybody was buried up there, you know, and people whom I would have thought would have, but they didn't. But just because I had been there when I was little, I remembered that. So I was real pleased when that worked out. Well, that was only a few years ago. And he was, wife was, Lycombe Sheldon's wife was a Whipple. And this was a Whipple that was looking for their relation. They knew they were buried someplace around here. And so I got to know them, and they came, and we went up a couple of times to see the marker and so on. And it all worked out real nice, and there are a lot of Whipples. As a matter of fact, one day I thought, oh my gosh, my son's married to a Whipple, and she must probably related, because, you know, everybody going back all those years are related to somebody else. I was going through a notebook there that my grandmother had of our family, and names of people that have been around here for years and years, you know, must have gone back to way back. Because they married in their own